Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's an encouragement to meet together in the middle of the week, and what a privilege it is to be able to share from the Word of God. I think about how that over the years the Lord has helped me to grow and to learn His Word, and what a privilege it is to share what the Lord has taught me and what the Lord has given me. I know that many times we pray corporately, and we don't really focus on our individual prayer lives. You know, our individual prayer lives are very important. And reading the Word of God is an encouragement. I know that every day that I don't start the day reading the Word of God, I kind of feel like I've missed something. And so when we get in the habit of really praying with the Lord, it's a great encouragement, and it helps us as we go into our day. If you do it, if you can do it in the morning, that is a great encouragement as you go into your day to know that you are in God's hand. You have solidified your life and your heart in His hand. Through the day, you can continue to think on Bible verses or things you have prayed about, and it will encourage you throughout the week. And so tonight we're going to look at some encouragements to pray and a number of quotes from not only from men, but from men that have studied the Word of God for many years and have understood and had a great understanding of the value of individual prayer. Not to say that corporate prayer is not good, but individual prayer to help you to draw closer to the Lord and to develop your devotion to the Lord, for the Lord, and be willing to stand up for Him when the opportunity comes, because you're close to Him. You know that I remember back when I was young, and my wife and I were going together, and how that my heart was always thinking about my wife, you know, my one day wife, and the motivation that it gave me, you know, and the same kind of a motivation we can have with our Lord as we think about many of the scriptural and biblical things that encourage us to meditate on Him. And as a result, we respond out of love, and our lives are so much better. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 19 that God's word is very valuable to us. It is sweeter than honey. It's more valuable than gold. And it's important for us to be in it, because in it, there is great reward. And you know, as we continue to delve into the Word of God and look at the prayers that are in the Word of God, and to encourage ourselves to pray alongside of the Word of God, it will be a great encouragement. And so as we get into our study today, I'm going to give you a couple of quotes, and then go to the Word of God, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you to develop and to grow in your individual prayer life, because the Lord wants you to be close to Him. The New Testament encourages us to pray without ceasing, and that's an attitude that, hey, I'm always talking to the Lord. I'm always cognizant of the fact that God is with me, and God is encouraging me, and God is watching out for me. And so we need to focus on that so that we don't lose track of that and have our mind on the things of this world and get far away from the Lord and end up being discouraged. And so God wants us to live that abundant life, and that abundant life includes a time of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness to us and for the opportunity we have to look at Your word, to be encouraged, to develop each one of us individually, Lord, in our walk with You, in our prayer time and time talking with You, and dedicating a section of time each day to bring our concerns to You, to bring our worship to You, bring our adoration to You and our thanks to You. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to look at Your word. I thank You that You've given us a copy of it, that it will not change, and it gives us stability in our life, Lord. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know that many of past saints have encouraged us to pray. There's a man called E.M. Bounds who's written a number of books on prayer, and he says this about prayer. He says, spiritual work is taxing work. He says, this taxing work, and men are loath to do it. Praying, true praying, costs an outlay of serious attention and time, which flesh and blood do not relish. That's why many people don't pray, because they don't want to invest the time. Another spiritual leader that we have heard of, John Bunyan, he says, in prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without heart. And we want to develop our heart towards God. We want to be desirous of having a heart that's turned over to the Lord. Andrew Murray says this. He says, think of what he can do, talking about the Lord, and how he delights to hear the prayers of his redeemed people. Think of your place and privilege in Christ and expect great things. You know, the Bible says that the Lord has adopted us into his family. We were aliens. Now we're in his family. We're his children. We were far from God. Now we're near God. We have been adopted into his family. We have an intercessor that intercedes for us constantly. And we have an advocate that speaks up for us when we have been accused by Satan. And so here, Andrew Murray is encouraging us, think of what he can do and put your trust in him. And so as we think about prayer and some encouragements to pray, there are some key elements to prayer, or you could say there are some different types of prayer that you can be involved in. And the Word of God instructs us in prayer, and tonight we're going to look at some of those encouragements to pray, or some key elements to prayer. And the very first key element that is in prayer is faith, and that's pretty logical, that you have to have faith, that you want to be as Hebrews chapter number 11 encourages us, that in the beginning of the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, it says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Therefore, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God is the one that did it. And it takes faith to believe that. And then verse number 6 says this and encourages us as believers to demonstrate your faith through what you do. And verse number 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so as we think about the first element of prayer that we should be applying to our lives, and that is the element of faith, believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Psalm 148 is a great reminder of us, to us, of this element of faith, that the Lord encourages us to believe in him. Matthew chapter 21. Verses 21 and 22 remind us of the fact that Jesus told us that we can ask whatsoever you will, and the Lord will do it. And so the Lord wants you to ask in faith, believing that he'll take care of your needs. The Lord wants us each to pray, the psalmist here in Psalm 148, his heart desire was to have a walk with God and to be walking in faith, trusting in every aspect of his life. And Psalm 148, as we look at this psalm, we're looking at it to help us in our prayer life, in that you can personalize this psalm for your own life. As you pray and talk to the Lord, he wants you to have this kind of an attitude when you're talking to him. Here in Psalm 148, the first verse, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, ye all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heaven. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. And so you're really, by faith, believing that God is the one that has created this universe. And that in the demonstration of your faith, you are saying to God that you completely trust his word, and you have confidence in him, not only in what he has said, but what he's going to do in your life and my life. And so as you pray, you're praying, thanking him by faith that he is who he says he is. And the psalmist goes on, and he says here, he hath also established them forever. Excuse me, I flipped one page too many, and it messed me up. He says, forever and ever he hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deep, fire, hail, snow, and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, king of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. So as you demonstrate your faith in the word of God, believing what he says about himself, we are praising him and thanking him for his, not only his creation, but for how good he is to us. Individually in our lives, and we pray in faith, believing that God hears us. A few more quotes that I have here about the trust we have in the Lord. There are a number of men that have desired to please the Lord with their prayer life, and the thoughts on prayer, one of the things that a fellow named Edward Payson said is, prayer is the first thing. The second thing and the third thing necessary to a minister. And you know what? Each one of us are ministers. The Lord has called us into his ministry. He has given us a ministry as ambassadors for Christ. And so our first thing is prayer. The second thing is prayer. The third thing necessary to a minister. Pray then, my dear brothers. Pray, pray, pray. And so talking to God, praying to God by faith, the Lord wants to hear your prayers. A day without prayer is a day without blessing, and a day without prayer is a life without power. When we focus on the things of this world, we have no power. When we focus on he who can give us power, we will have a day filled with power. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And so God wants us to pray. He wants us to be involved in this prayer. So the first prayer of faith is that, Lord, I accept, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And especially, Lord, I thank you for what your word says about you, that you not only are the creator of this earth, but, Lord, you are the one that walks with me. Your word promises in Psalm 23 that you are my shepherd. You are caring for me just like an earthly shepherd cares for his sheep. What a wonderful relationship that I believe by faith because of what your word says. And God wants to bless your heart. He wants to bless your life. He wants to bless my heart and my life as I focus by faith on what the word of God says about our God. And then it goes on. Another area of prayer that we can be involved in, not only is it a prayer of faith, believing that God will supply, but a prayer of adoration. A time of adoration that you can spend with the Lord. And the word adoration means to regard with the utmost esteem, love and respect, honor, to pay divine honor to worship, to adore God, to praise God for who he is. Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord gave instructions to the disciples on what we call the Lord's Prayer, but really it's the disciples' prayer. The beginning of the prayer says, hallowed be thy name. And that's the idea of holy is your name, adored is your name. Your name is above every name. And so a time of prayer, not only do we pray in faith, but we pray in an attitude of adoration, an attitude of great respect and honor for our God. Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The psalmist, again, reflects the adoration of the Lord in many of the psalms, but one of the psalms to help us in our prayer life is Psalm 148. We just hit on 148. Psalm 119 is the one I'm thinking of. If you turn with me to Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. And if you read a psalm a day, Psalm 119, you might want to break up for a couple of days. But Psalm 119 is just about every single verse in Psalm 119 refers to the Word of God in some way or fashion. And this particular passage, Psalm 33 to 40, reminds us of not only our walk of faith, but the fact that we as believers want to adore our God because of what He has done for us and what He can do for us. And so here in verse 33, it says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." The attitude is that, Lord, my way is not necessarily Your way. Lord, teach me how You want me to live. Teach me through Your wisdom what You want me to do. And He has given us that in His Word. And He says in verse number 34, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the paths of Thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto Thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken Thou me in Thy way. Establish Thy word unto Thy servant, who is devoted to Thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for Thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after Thy precepts. Quicken me in Thy righteousness." A prayer of dedication, a prayer that desires God's direction. And as you think of what God can do for you, as He wants to teach you and guide you, we can give Him honor and adoration, thanking Him for the fact that He cares about us individually so much that He wants us to come to Him and get that direction on a daily basis, moment by moment, asking the Lord, "Direct me, please, Lord, You are wise, much wiser than me. Teach me Thy ways." And God is pointing us through His Word back to Himself and the fact that He has given us the directions we need. And we can spend time thanking the Lord and praising His name because He wants us to be holding Him in high respect and honor, that we would adore not only Him, but adore His word and allow it to work in our hearts. And then another prayer to help us in our, encourage us to pray is the prayer of confession. A prayer that I think that as a believer, we can come to the Lord and confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God wants us to confess to Him our sin, so we can be in fellowship, so we can spend time by faith adoring Him and realizing that He is our all in all. He will forgive. You know, the Lord is His mercy endures forever. And the Word of God encourages us to spend a time of prayer, especially when we sin. And when we sin, we get away from the Lord and we feel bad. We do not desire to be in God's Word because sin keeps us from this book. You know, this book will keep us from sin, but sin keeps us from that book. We don't feel like, and we are emotional beings, we don't feel like we are going to read God's Word because we know we've committed sin, some sin that we've committed, and we haven't confessed it. And a lot of times we're too proud to confess it and say, "I've got this reason for sinning. I've got an excuse. I can, this is, look at my neighbor. Look at my friend over here. He's doing a lot worse than me. So I shouldn't have to worry about this sin." But God continues to, because He loves us, continues to convict us. And He says, "Hey, come to me. I won't cast you out. I want you to come." And He wants us to come in humility. And so the prayer of confession, I think that I've worn out 1 John 1:9. But God continues to say, "Hey, come, come. I want you to confess." In Psalm 51, the psalmist, this is David's confession. You know, David committed sin with Bathsheba. Uriah the Hittite was was one of his great soldiers, faithful, true to David. He was willing, and he did give his life for not only for David, but for the nation of Israel and for God. And David stole his wife, and God convicted him. And God, showing his great mercy, Psalm 51, we can personalize this and look at how David felt about his sin and learn about our own prayer life and time with the Lord, that he wants us to come to him. Psalm 51 says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." And so David is claiming the mercy of God. By faith, he is believing what God says in his word and what David had experienced in his life, the great mercy of God and the tender love that he had for David and for us. And so as you pray, don't look at this particular passage as just David's prayer. Make it your prayer and say, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me because of your loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, please blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." That's the first thing you need to do, is make sure that you confess it, name it, agree with God about your sin. "Lord, I just lied. You saw what I did." You just name that sin to God. And that's what David is doing here. He says, I told you, Lord, my sin. You know what I did. It's wrong, and I know it's a sin against you. It's breaking your heart. It's breaking my heart. And he goes on, again, "Against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." And so David acknowledges that his sin was against God. You know, all of our sin is really rebellion against God. As we sin, we know what's right, but we make the decision to do what's wrong. But God says, "Come, confess it. I will forgive you." And David's claiming God's loving kindness. He's claiming God's mercy. He's explaining to God, "I have acknowledged my sin. You are such a great, wonderful God. You will forgive me, and God will forgive you and me." And he goes on, he says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." He wants us to be without any deceit as we talk to him, as we reveal our heart, as we lay our sin on the altar and we tell him the truth about our sin. He says, "And the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Then David pleads for God, and that's our prayer for God, for us individually, as we exercise our faith in praying this prayer of confession to the Lord. Verse number 7, he says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquity." David's expressing our heart desire. "Lord, please forgive me. Please clean me." David is saying that God is going to make him white. He's going to clean him up. He's going to forgive him of his sin. And he says in verse number 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." And so here David is reminding us and giving us an example of a prayer of confession, a prayer that we can pattern our own confession after, that we admit our sin, that we acknowledge and name it to God, that we ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us, and God will. And it's interesting that in Psalm 63, a similar rejoicing and depending on God's loving kindness is mentioned in Psalm 63. And the psalmist reflects a heart like David and reflects the heart that we should have towards God in believing him by faith, realizing how great he is and knowing that he will accept our prayer of confession. We can be like the psalmist here in Psalm 63 that says, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Don't wait. Anytime after you've sinned, after you realize that what you have done, go to him right away. The psalmist here is saying, Lord, I've come to you. I'm going to seek you early. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. The condition that we're in when we sin, we're just like this psalmist is talking about the wilderness, that we're in a dry and thirsty land. We have no spiritual sustenance. We have no joy. We cannot drink of that water that God has provided to give us relief from the wickedness of this world and the sin that so easily besets us. And the psalmist says here, he says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. David referred to God's loving kindness in his prayer of confession. God is a God of love, a God that has tender mercy. That is a God described here as a God with loving kindness. And we can call on the Lord because he loves us. He will not cast us out, and he wants us to confess to make sure that we have our hearts right with him. And my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And so here, as the psalmist reminds us that the Lord wants to forgive us of our sin, David confesses his sin, we should confess our sin, and that is a time that we can get right with God, and he will get right with you as you pour your heart out to him and acknowledge your sin and ask for forgiveness. He will forgive. Then a prayer of thanksgiving. You know, these elements of prayer, the fact that we come to him by faith, that we can pray a prayer of adoration, we can pray a prayer of confession, now a prayer of thanksgiving that expresses our gratitude to the Lord and that praises God for what he does in our lives as individuals. Philippians 4, 6, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 remind us that we should be giving thanks always for all things because God is watching over us. No matter what happens to us, he's going to work it out for our benefit, for our good, for our growth, for our drawing us closer to him. The psalmist says, it was good that I was afflicted, that I would be drawn closer to the Lord. And so here we can have a prayer of thanksgiving. The psalmist in many psalms, there's psalms of thanksgiving. Psalm 71 is one that comes to mind. Just a couple of verses from Psalm 71, verses 17 to 22, as the psalmist reflects his attitude of thanksgiving. Hopefully I'm in the right place here. Psalm 71. Psalm 71, 17 through 21. It says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Verse 9 says, Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they lay wait for my soul to take counsel together. God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. But, O God, be not far from me, O my God. Make haste for my help. Let them be confounded. And it goes on, and it says in verse 14, But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. This is the psalmist reflecting back on his life now that he's old and realizing, hey, God has watched over me. God has taken care of me. God has provided for me. God has blessed me. And he says here, he says, I will continue. I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. He's reflecting on his life. And then verse 15 says, My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. It's interesting that he is saying, hey, I'm going to talk about God. I'm going to talk about how good he is. I'm going to tell you what he's done for me. And he is going to praise God with his lips. And he goes on, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. And so here, the psalmist is reflecting on how God's taken care of him, throughout his life, and he says, I will praise him. And he's not just praising him in his prayer time, but he's going to praise him when he's out and about. He's going to say, hey, Lord, this is what the Lord has done for me. I don't care if people think I'm crazy. God has taken care of me. God has watched over me. And he can name it one by one, one by one. One, two, three, four. This is what God has done for me many, many times. And then we can praise and thank him continually. Supplication, the last encouragement to prayer is supplication, asking God for things. The word supplication is a request for help from God that carries a sense of awe and adoration with a respectful appeal to a higher power. By faith, we come to God knowing he has all power, and we know that he wants to hear our requests, and we ask him humbly and desiring to know that God will supply, and we supplicate, we ask for things, and God supplies. That is intercession. There's a quote from one of the guys that I have this list here of intercession, and it is a one that we can apply to our lives and apply to our prayer life. That our part of our prayer time should be intercession, praying for others. And Martin Luther says this, as it is the business of tailors to make clothes and the business of cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. And so Martin Luther understood that we should be praying. Jonathan Edwards said this about prayer. He says, there is no way that Christians in a private capacity can do so much to promote the work of God and advance the kingdom of Christ as by prayer. So you have an opportunity, I have an opportunity to promote the kingdom of God. We may not physically ourselves have enough talent to do so many things in God's kingdom, to promote God's kingdom. But each one of us can do what Jonathan Edwards alludes to, is that we individually can promote the work of God, as he says, and advance the kingdom of Christ by our prayers. God wants us to pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the opportunity we have to study the Word of God and to see your heart and mind that you desire us to pray. Help us, Lord, to put this all into practice in our lives individually, that we would desire to spend time in prayer as a result of time in the Word of God, as we put our trust in what you tell us and what we believe your Word of God is teaching us, that we can go to that one that can make a difference. And that is you, Father. Help us to spend time in prayer and seriously desire to draw close to you through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.